Enchanted Sky Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thank you for joining me again this week. This time our topic is leadership. My guest is former Fire Chief Alan Brunicini. Chief Brunicini is one of the most highly respected figures in the fire industry. He was the chief of the Phoenix Fire Department for many years, and he was the first active fire service member to hold the position of chairman of the board of directors of the NFPA. Chief Brunicini has authored or co-authored a total of 9 books, including Fire Command. These days, he's teaching the principles of leadership in seminars around the country. Chief Brunicini, welcome to Code 3.
Hello. Hello.
Now, you are very familiar to people in the Valley because you were the Phoenix Fire Chief for many years.
Correct.
Well, it's been about 10 years since you've retired from the Phoenix Fire Department. What have you been doing?
Yeah. Right at 10 years. I'm doing fine. I'm still very busy. I'm still writing. I'm still teaching. I think last year I did almost 40 seminars, so I'm moving around, and it's always fun. I still hang out with my 2 sons who are doing Blue Card Command, so I get to enjoy that with them. And so I got plenty to do. It's been a fun retirement so far.
It's funny. Only a firefighter would reference all that work and call that a retirement.
Yeah, that's been fun.
You're appearing in Chandler on September 27th through the 29th.
Yes, we are. We're going to do a 3-day program that's part of Columbia Southern University. It's a kind of a leadership institute that we've been doing for the last, 5 or 6 years, and we've probably done 20 or 25 of these 3-day programs.
The program is about leadership, but is it aimed at the fire service or is it leadership in general?
Well, we use a lot of leadership examples and language and experiences, and most of the students are firefighters, so we relate to them in their own occupational terms. But certainly when you start looking at leadership, the topics are pretty general and would apply to any kind of organizational life or behavior or type of organization. So, and we've had police officers and other departments in the city and just people from the general business and industry in our classes, and they do very well, and they relate to the firefighters, and the firefighters seem to do that to them. So it's a very positive kind of thing. Mostly it has to do with just the management of humans, the boss dynamics of being a leader or a manager, an officer in an organization, and sort of how you treat people and the effect of it, and maybe some ideas about maybe how to do that better and better. It's not very complicated, but we do a lot of case studies, so there's a lot of participation. It's not a big lecture kind of thing. The presentations that we do are pretty brief and pretty practical, and then we have a robust discussion, and we do a case study, and the students get to describe maybe the application of the material that we had discussed before. So it's pretty practical. It's fun. 2-3 days goes by very quickly, and seems like everybody seems to enjoy it, and they keep signing up for it, which we're certainly pleased about, and it's certainly fun to do for us.
What leadership elements would you say that leaders in fire service need to learn more about that they can pick up from your seminars?
I think it's certainly a lot of different things, but I think, and we talk about this a lot in the class, about the need for particularly a fire service boss, but I think it applies to bosses in general, is that there's a lot of really technical, tactical, detailed things that a boss needs to know, and they need to understand that language and the way you kind of exchange information about things that are really pretty managerial focused in the process. But there's another half of that has to do with human behavior that is driven a lot more by emotions than facts, and what we kind of try to impress on the students and get them a chance to maybe express back to us is how do you become as a boss kind of emotionally bilingual. In other words, you can speak rational language and you can relate and somehow connect in an emotional kind of way. Because people are really, in an organization, people kind of do what they're taught, but they they add value based on the way they feel, and mostly their feelings are driven by how they're treated in the organization. So both are important. In other words, we have a function, particularly in the fire service. In other words, they call us to put a fire out, and that way that's a pretty focused tactical kind of thing. But what she really remembers about us is the way that we treated her, just to put it simply, how nice we were to she and her family. So we talk about that in a very practical, applied kind of sense. So it's pretty practical, really.
Now, I was speaking not too long ago with the battalion chief, and we were remarking on the fact that typically in business, when you're good at something, you get promoted to a job that's totally different. And we were talking about his job as an example. You know, he was a very good firefighter. He followed commands well, followed the procedures. And then he was made battalion chief, where his job was not to do that anymore. So I'm curious whether you see a problem there in promoting people out of what they're good at and promoting them into something where they need to learn a whole new skill set.
I think you said that perfectly. In a lot of cases and places and situations, it isn't that you have a new job, you have a new career. And that's an interesting transition. And I think that the practical capability that we have is always a very important thing. In other words, he developed as he was coming up in his career to the point that he became a battalion chief. He learned a lot about the business from a tactical standpoint, and that's critical because that's the business we're in. I think that, and we see this a lot, and we have a continual discussion for 3 days about it, is that a battalion chief spends about 2% of his time dealing with tactical situations and 98% of the time dealing with human situations. The human situations are mostly driven by emotions. So if we don't somehow prepare and give a new boss the opportunity to learn and apply and practice and get to understand and maybe listen to somebody who has been around for a while, who's lived through this before, they can be at a pretty good disadvantage. But, and I think that for most of our people, it may be a little bit awkward in the beginning, but they're very well-trained people. The people in the fire service are enormously capable, so they catch on. I think what we're talking about is it'll just be a lot easier and a lot quicker if we help them catch on, I guess is the point. But I think what you said is absolutely valid and true and applied too. Is that we get promoted for doing something that doesn't even indirectly relate to the new job that you have.
Right. And then, of course, as in the fire service, as you get promoted further, you move further and further away from the field, and it becomes more of what you call managing humans. So
yeah,
this is where I wonder if people in many other businesses might benefit from what you're teaching also, because really, once you've moved away from the battalion chief level, you start moving up into division chief, you're really dealing with managing people just like any other position.
Yeah, and then you add things like administrative duties like budgeting and dealing with personnel and then political issues. And most of those issues, while they have a technical side to them, they also have a very emotional side. You know, today you start talking, well, forever, but particularly today after having lived through the recession and gone through the recession, a lot of the issues that financial issues have an emotional consequence where we deliver service. So if you don't have a boss that can, you know, bosses in a strategic level in the organization that can't relate to the community in an emotional kind of way, I mean, if you look at what's going on in Houston, that's a huge hydraulics problem, but it's also a huge emotional problem. You know, if you got the residents of the fourth largest city that are walking around in 4.5 feet of water, that's an emotional experience. So if that fire department, police department, and FEMA, and all the other people who are going there in a very effective and certainly appropriate way to help them, if they can't relate to them emotionally, there's not going to be much of a connection. Now, clearly, you need to save them physically and make them safe and try to return their life to, you know, get their life right side up in the process. And a lot of that are physical kinds of things. But what they'll remember basically is the way the system treated them, and they were going through not only the response but also the recovery. So it's an interesting issue. It's an interesting combination of kind of mixing things together and do it creatively and sensibly and try to not diminish either side of it, but to make it more complementary than competitive, I guess.
Now, when you talk to young firefighters these days, you hear a lot of what they've been trained to say, which is customers. You know, we're helping our customers. There was a time, and I'm sure you're well familiar with this, when we didn't use that kind of phrase. Some places use the word taxpayers, but even if they didn't use that, it was more a matter of the people you're helping weren't referred to as customers. Can you remember what that time was like, and how did that change come about?
Well, yeah, I can absolutely, I can remember it, and you're being very kind. What we called those people were victims. Get into a relationship where you need to have service delivered to you and characterize yourself as a victim. Now, clearly, the incident is kind of, the flood in Houston is victimizing the residents and the citizens and the humans in Houston. And I don't mean to diminish that in any way, but the way that the Houston Fire Department and all the other people who are going there to help people is they basically, and I think we do a pretty good job of this today. It's been an interesting change, but we did it fairly quickly, is they treat those people in a very empathetic and very human kind of way. And certainly the shift from victims to customers was a pretty easy shift because mostly, and I got to live through that. I wrote a book on customer service for whatever that's worth. But it was a pretty easy change to make because of the way that most of our, or virtually all of our firefighters were raised by their families. We called it mom management. When they left home, their mother told them, be nice. So when we got them, they were socialized and trained and conditioned to be nice to people. I mean, the firefighters, by and large, are the nicest people you could meet. So what we did is said, just keep doing what your mother told you to do. And it worked out spectacularly. But it's interesting to make that transition. And I was there. It was awkward when we started calling the people who received our service customers. We were very bewildered by that for just a moment or two. We got through it okay. But it was an interesting period. They said, no, what do you mean customers? Well, we say they paid for the service. Mrs. Smith been paying her taxes for 50 years before she called us. If she's not a customer, I don't know what she is. But I can characterize that in a personal kind of way because, hell, when I was a young firefighter, my customer was a burning building.
Exactly.
The structure that was on fire.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, and when I, I got a little bit older, I figured out that, buildings don't vote.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that ain't very hard. So we figured it out, it's been an interesting shift, but I think most of the fire service in my travels, they get the thing about customers. I think they do pretty well. I'll tell you where there's a bit of a still a little bit awkward is if you want to treat people on the outside who receive our service as customers, we've got to treat the people inside like they're customers. So those require boss behaviors inside the organization that are a lot of times a lot more difficult. It's a lot more difficult for Chief Smith to treat Firefighter Smith like he or she is a customer as it is to treat Mrs. Smith like she's a customer. Because we see the customer for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. We have people, the people that we work with every day are like our family. Hell, we see them a third of our lives. And our family isn't any more functional than any other family. So it's interesting to look at the dynamics inside our own family and how do we deal with that. And until and unless we can get bosses to treat the people who work for them like their customers, it's going to be an awkward fit on the outside. So it's an interesting kind of dynamic when you look at it. I think really and truly, we needed to, and I think in a lot of places we did, we changed more of our behavior inside than we did on the outside. Because I think we've had a good relationship with Mrs. Smith for the last 200 years. But we didn't do customer service because we were going to hell in a handbasket as far as the community was concerned. It was just a time for us to maybe consider those people in a little bit different framework and a little bit different context. And that was, again, a pretty easy change to make. But internally, if you want to have all the characteristics of a dysfunctional family, just look at a fire department in a day-to-day sense. It's a terrific organization, but it's an energetic group of people who come together and everybody, you hired every one of them to fight. So it's an interesting dynamic internally.
What would you say is the biggest problem you've seen internally, that management issue?
Management is the problem. The most serious management problem is management.
So,
is this the boss? Send the bosses to school. If you want the workers to do something better, different, new, better, whatever, send the bosses to school. And I mean that respectfully for the bosses. I'm not being disrespectful of the bosses, but that's a pretty challenging thing to do in a lot of cases.
I imagine it is, because the bosses assume in many cases that they know better and everybody should simply follow them because of that.
That's right. No, particularly in an organization like a fire department that has ranks and uniforms and symbols of authority and all the other trappings that we have. You know, we can take ourselves pretty seriously. But if you look at it, no, and again, I don't mean that disrespectfully as far as, or pejoratively as far as bosses are concerned, but the challenge is just simply leadership. And I mean, it is everywhere, not in the fire, hell, the fire service is probably better led than most places. What's the problem in Washington, D.C. right now? No matter what your politics are, it's stuck. And the reason it's stuck is because of the leadership.
And those are some of the topics that you guys will be discussing in your leadership seminar in Chandler. Chief Alan Brunicini, thanks for being with me on Code 3 this week.
Thank you for doing it. I appreciate it very much.
Again, the chief will be in Chandler for the Fire Rescue Leadership Institute on September 27, 28, and 29. There is a link to the information on our website at code3podcast.com/leadership. Hey, don't forget the free Code 3 app for Android phones is available now. The link to download it is also at the website. That's all for this edition of Code 3. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with more. I'm Scott Orr, and until next week, I'll see you later.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.